Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. And, oh, you know what? Hang on, I think we have breaking chipmunk news. Do we?
You do.
Okay,
by the way,
is it
just weird that while we're talking about Chipper and hearing from Chipper, a chipmunk runs into the sewing room here where I'm doing the show?
That is very weird.
Chased
what is
by
the
my
update
cat?
On the chipmunk in the house, please? We need
all right, I have two. Number one, Sharon, okay. I'm working on it. Sharon sent me an email. You got to save that chipmunk. My cats have made them extinct on my street. All right, I'm working on it. My wife went into the bedroom where the cat and the chipmunk were, threw the cat out, went back in. There's a screen door in the bedroom, and she was kind of trying to guide him out through the door. She said that the chipmunk did a complete circle in the bedroom, ran into the bathroom, did a complete circle in the bathroom. Where our tub is, there's a big piece of wood kind of covering the side of the tub because it sits in there, you know, and it's not flush. There's a little bit of a crack. Yep, the chipmunk ran into the crack and is now somehow underneath inside the tub area.
Remain calm. All is well.
I'm not sure that it is. So
I don't know
who
this chipmunk update is brought to you by, but it's brought to you by somebody. Thank you for the chipmunk update.
Yeah, I'll keep you posted if I hear anything else.
Okay, I'd like to hear from Brian Anderson now.
Yeah, me
too. North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Hi, BA. Thanks for joining us from Florida. How are you?
Well, you know what? I'm great. While I was on hold, I was enjoying the saga of the chipmunk. I mean, are you kidding me, Phelpsy? You've got a couple of them in the house.
BA, I'm not kidding. I'm sitting here doing the show in the little sewing room, right? All of a sudden, I look, and my cat is, like, on the prowl. And I look over here. There's a desk next to where I'm sitting. And under the desk, it's completely squared off with a wall. So it's a built-in desk. There's a chipmunk hanging behind the paper shredder, and the cat's trying to get it. I'm like, oh, my God.
I would love to be, I don't know what the right word is for it, just freaked out by something like that. But then I remember back when I was growing up, we used to go hunting for and eventually eating squirrel. So
yeah,
I see a squirrel now. I'm like, we ate that? I mean, what was wrong with my parents? What was wrong with my parents that we were out hunting these things and eating them? So a chipmunk in the house doesn't sound so bad.
No. Tastes like chicken.
This might be a bad time to bring up you're from Geneva. I'm just not sure.
Dog Patch. I'm from Dog Patch.
Dog Patch, Ohio?
No, you know what? There is a – I would make the drive every year to wherever we would do spring training. So if it was – when I was playing with the Diamondbacks, our spring training was in Tucson, and so I'd load up the truck and make the drive from, wherever I was living in Cleveland to Tucson, and same thing with Florida. And it actually was driving through – it was somewhere down Kentucky-Tennessee way – there's an actual location. There's a place called Dog Patch. Kind of seems that, you know, probably squirrel is on the menu there.
How does one eat squirrel? Just out of curiosity, is it squirrel kebab? Is it cooked. Seasoned squirrel?
Do you remember?
It was,
it was close to chicken wings. You know what I mean? You had small little portions of meat. The thing that was most interesting is my father, you know, we would bring however many he would get on that certain day, and he would skin them in the garage. And he was like a surgeon. I mean, it was pretty incredible. And you kind of split them in the middle. You pull the skin over one end and the other. And then you just kind of dissect there for the meat, let it soak. And then he would go through the organs, and then he would save the stomach. You can believe this. He would save the stomach for last. So he would open up the stomach to see what it had been eating on before he sent them to their end. I mean, this has spiraled right down.
I can't believe it. But you know what? I'm sitting here and I'm saying, I can't believe this, but yet you're still the man that tracked down a purse snatcher in San Francisco and burned yourself on an iron. So those stories seem very tame right now.
Yeah, the squirrel stories are 100% legit. And like I said, now when I make these nature walks, when I'm on the phone with you guys, when I see the gators and this and that, a lot of squirrel too. And I see these guys, and I'm like, I really can't believe that was a meal back in the day. But it was. Anyway, what do we want to talk about?
I now know why you were out to eat with Carl Sadler, because you two were cut from the same cloth. So, former Indians pitcher. So let me throw this at you, because it's been a big week for you before we get into some of the baseball issues. The TampaBay.com did a story on what folks around town were doing during the pandemic. And let me quote the great Brian Anderson. "And Anderson finally feels back to normal, enough to resume a daily," and now this is the quote, "prison-style workout in the garage, making use of every little weight that we have, a little bench and a bike, and it's nice and hot in there, so I work up an awesome sweat." That's gold, Jerry. Gold. Prison-style workout in the garage.
Prison-style workout in the garage. And when I know that I'm going on with you guys, I've got to crank that thing out early and then get on my walk. So I'm telling you right now, I am soaking wet making this walk now out in the heat, because I just finished it up.
And I think, and it's not loading on my computer, but the picture is of you in the Tampa Bay Times is you working out, isn't it? Yes.
Yes. Yeah. After I described to him the prison style workout, he wanted a picture of it, so we got one and sent it to him, and then he was nice enough, but he definitely threw it into the article. But it was good. It was an interesting article, because there were so many different people and so many different broadcasters. Kind of interesting to see what everybody's doing.
I also forgot about this, that you were home like around Super Bowl time and you got really sick. I got to wonder if you thought, what did you think? Tell everybody about how sick you were when you were back home during the Super Bowl and what happened.
Well, you know, I had some travels. I had gone down to Dayton, Ohio, there was a club down there, that Joe Smith, who went to Wright State, now pitches for the Astros, of course, pitched for the Tribe for a long time. He was going to be speaking. And so, I went there to, you know, to support him on Thursday night. Friday night, I was the keynote speaker for the, their season off and running.
We just lost you there. You were the keynote speaker at what? We just dropped off.
At Wright State University, their first pitch banquet, you know, getting ready for their season. That was on Friday night. And then when that was over, I had to, you know, get right to bed and get up at the crack of dawn, because I drove from Fairborn, Ohio, or Dayton, up to Cleveland to do, you know, Fan Fest for the Indians, the Tribe Fest on Saturday, the day before the Super Bowl. And towards the end of that day, really started to not feel great. Just kind of, you know what, it's been a long, you know, 2-3 days, a lot of travel, a lot of glad handing, you know, meeting a lot of people, doing a lot of, you know, things. And so I thought, you know, maybe it's just, you know, just the run on me. I got to go home and get to bed. So when I left Tribe Fest, I went home and I crawled into bed, and I mean, maybe an hour later, I had a fever well over 103, and, wow, you know, the chills and the aches, and it was just, I was miserable. Of course, you know, the Super Bowl was awful. And then Monday morning, of course, our good friend, you know, Dr. Larry Whitmer, gave him a call Monday morning and said, "Doc, can you get me in? Because I'm in bad shape." And so they were able to get me in late that Monday morning, and I had tested positive for the flu. They, you know, did the flu test, At that point, my fever was around 100, not too bad. So they sent me home, you know, liquids and Tamiflu and a Z-Pack. Because he did well. So I tested positive for the flu, and he told me, he's like, your left lung is shot. It sounded terrible. In fact, he sent me for chest x-rays for pneumonia. So, you know, that's why he gave me the Z-Pack and Tamiflu, took that stuff, and was not making a ton of progress, but really wasn't going south either. And then all of a sudden, Thursday night, you know, a lot of night sweats. I was waking up every morning. You know, the bed would be wet, but I still had a fever, still had those aches and chills and all that. And then Thursday night, my fever ran right back up to about 103.5. And at that point, knowing what we had talked about on Monday, I said, if I wake up in the morning, well, hopefully I wake up in the morning. And if I do and my fever's still here, I know that he's sending me to the hospital. And so I went to bed, was able to eventually fall asleep. Friday morning, and I'm telling you, the bed was soaked, and my fever was back down to about 100, and it just fluctuated between there and 102 for a few days, and then it slowly started to get better. I was in bed for 10 days, a good solid 10 days, and I'm telling you right now, I've not been that sick, I mean, maybe in my life. I mean, if I was, it was when I was a kid with no recollection, and so
after eating squirrel,
Yeah. I mean, yes, you're probably right. I was in pretty bad shape. So, and you know, the residual effects of it were weeks and weeks and weeks. And so I came down here to get ready for spring training, did my first game. And then I read an article, that just because you tested positive for the flu doesn't mean that there are certain people that were cross-contaminated or cross-infected, that you could, you know, still have the flu or test positive for the flu and, you know, and coronavirus. And so I actually reached out to Dr. Whitmer and sent him a text, and I said, hey, read this article about, you know, cross-infection. What do you think? And he sent me back. He said, I was kind of wondering the same thing. And so, you know, at that point, there was a thought that, man, maybe I did, because, again, have never been sick in my life, had all the earmarks, you know, the trouble breathing, the pneumonia end of thing, you know, the night sweats, the chills, the extreme temperature, the feeling that you're starting to get better, and then all of a sudden you get really bad again. And I thought, man, that may be it. But I was able to be a part of that Major League Baseball study on antibodies, and it came back negative. So, you know, unless that test was faulty, then it was just the good old flu. But I'll tell you, whatever I had, I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy. It was awful, awful.
Wow.
Let's do this. We're glad you're all right.
Yeah, I mean, that's just crazy. And then I saw that in the story. I didn't expect to. Do you have a couple more minutes? Because we're going to take a break.
Oh, yeah. You guys need to take a break. I'll be around.
All right, so let's do this. B.A., why don't you hang on the line, and then we're going to take a quick timeout. We'll come right back. We'll talk about some of the issues that are going on with baseball and some of this college stuff that's going on, too. I'd be interested to hear your opinion on that. So former Indian Brian Anderson, he's going to rejoin us again next, right after this quick timeout. B.A., what are your latest thoughts on Major League Baseball and being able to get the season back up and going?
You know, like everybody else, you're optimistic. I would say cautiously optimistic. You know, that seems to have been the way that I felt about this, you know, for the last, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 weeks. I think the only thing that is concerning to me is when you see the different protocols that Major League Baseball, you know, put together to present to the union about how they feel that they can get this thing up and running again. You have so many restrictions. You just wonder, at the end of the day, are they going to pull it off? I mean, if rules that you feel that are necessary to get this game up and running cause you to have to print out 80 pages, is that feasible? I mean, is that 80 pages worth of protocols, and that's going to go off without a hitch? I that's the thing that makes me nervous.
Brian, I agree with you completely on that. You kind of have to wonder, if we have to do all that, should we wait a little bit? The other thing that I keep going back to, and I don't know the answer to this, the medical people are the folks, do we have to go through all that? You know, the numbers are real clear that, you know, those folks who are most susceptible are the older folks and folks with pre-existing conditions. But, you know, it can still give you a real jolt and still kill people who aren't in those groups. But I just wonder, do you hold off or do you just go ahead and go for it? Because at some point you got to kind of start to return to normal. So I wonder. I'm sure MLB will err on the side of caution, and they probably should, if in this situation. But I wonder at some point do they just say, hey, here we go, and if you'd like to come to a game, you're welcome to, and if you'd like to play, you're welcome to. You know, maybe
right.
Leave it up to the players, Brian.
Yeah, listen, I'm with you, and I think you're starting to feel that sentiment really around the country. That how long is this going to go on for? You know, it started off, let's bend the curve. You know, let's bend the curve so we don't overwhelm the healthcare system. And now, right. in a lot of places, it's become, well, until there's a cure. Well, when is that? I mean, there are plenty of respiratory viruses out there that we've not been able to get a vaccine for. So I know that everybody's optimistic that we can have one within 12 to 18 months or end of the year or whatever anybody's hoping for. But what if that doesn't come? Do we just stay locked down forever? I mean, at some point, you're right. You've got to open it back up. You just can't sit back and hide out until there's a vaccine or a cure or a therapeutic that is locked down. Because if you do that, by the time that's available, then guess what? You may not have a country to open back up.
Exactly.
I mean, it may get that bad. Not to mention just the other after effects. You know, you read these reports now on all these people that are missing, you know, their doctor's appointments for screenings, for cancer procedures. There are a lot of aftershocks that are taking place. So yeah, at some point you're going to have to open things, you know, back up. Now that doesn't mean you're reckless in doing so. And certainly there's some things that procedures and protocols that need to be put into place, but yeah, you've got to get back to living or, you know, get busy living, or I mean, it's just, I don't know. It's
right.
It's a tough question. A lot of different, you know, feelings on it from a lot of different people, but you can sense the frustration growing around the country that, you know, enough's enough. Let's go back to work and do some stuff.
Speaking of, you know, getting back to work, your Rays, they're going to go back to work on Monday. What does that mean, and how does that exactly work? Do you know?
Well, I do, and it's interesting. Yeah, they get to go back to work on Monday. They're going to open up Tropicana Field. They're not allowed in the clubhouse. They're not allowed in the weight room. They're not allowed to throw off of the mounds, and they're not allowed to hit in the batting cages. So exactly what are they going to do? you're gonna tiptoe out onto the field and play a little light catch with a robot for the fear of two guys touching the ball? I mean, what's the point? You can't throw off a mound, can't hit in the cages, can't go into the clubhouse, cannot go into the weight room. Great. I mean, that sounds like my backyard. So who cares? I don't get that one.
and you know, Brian, that's really the case. Travis Hafner was on with us yesterday, and he's in Florida. And it sounds like in Florida, things might be a little different than they are here, just as far as, you know, because he said he had a baseball practice already last week for his younger kids' team. Are things a little different there than they are here from what you've been able to tell from talking to folks back here?
You know, I think that Ohio they've done a great job. I mean, they were kind of ahead of the curve. You remember back when the NCAA tournament was getting ready to start, and Governor DeWine said, you know, the first four in Dayton, you know, weren't going to have any fans if you were going to play it at all. Yeah. And I think the whole country is like, wait, whoa, tap the brakes. I mean, that's a little early. And, you know, turns out that Ohio seemed to be ahead of everybody else, at least getting the initial lockdown. So I think that the state has done well. But for whatever reason, and you know, Florida, you know, of course, they took a bad rap around spring break time, a lot of people on the beaches, but then they shut that down. And people around here have been very responsible about how they've handled it. And so they've kind of opened it back up. I mean, Governor DeSantis has, you know, come out and said, look, sports teams are welcome. You've heard the NBA talking about Disney World or in Orlando, if maybe they get their season back up and running. Of course, you know, the Rays are going to at least open the doors to Tropicana Field. I'm not sure what you're going to be allowed to do in there, like we just talked about. But yes, things seem to be, you know, you hate to say that, you know, they've got it licked, because that virus is still out there and we're still not immune to it. So it can spike up and there can be hot spots here or there, really everywhere. But so far, so good. I think Florida has done a lot better than people thought, because I remember early on, especially with the number of elderly people that live here in Florida, that, you know, they said that's the next New York. Florida, they haven't locked down fast enough. And you know, with all the senior citizens, that's going to be the next spot that gets crushed. And it's just so far has not happened.
BA, is there a plan that you think, let's just say they get everything worked out. Is there a way you want baseball to, outside of, you know, forget about having fans there or not, being able to play, you know, like we've seen the American League Central against the National League Central, and just do you see a path or just something that would be interesting that might be able to stick somewhere down the road, especially like the DH thing? And we heard from Chipper Jones, he's not real thrilled about it, but he understands it. I mean, when we walk out of this thing, what's baseball going to look like in the future, you know, if we can't get back this year? And what kind of changes do you expect?
Wow, that's a great question. And, you know, I haven't had a lot of time to think about it outside of the realignment. And I know that we've hit on that a few times on this show, you know, the potential for realignment and, you know, playing a more regional schedule, if we play one at all this year, would kind of allow you to, maybe in the collective bargaining agreement that's going to have to take, you know, the new negotiation take place after 2021, maybe that becomes a part of it. And who knows? But I don't want to see any of these funky rules. You know, I don't want if the game goes extra innings, we're going to start with a runner at second base and nobody out. I don't want any of that. I don't want, you know, hey, if we are going to play a doubleheader, it's 2 7-inning games. I don't want to see that. I mean, if that's for this year, that's one thing. But going forward over the long haul, I don't want to see the gimmicky type things, you know, but the realignment, you know, universal DH, an extra player or two on an active roster, those are things that are, you know, that are definitely in play and really wouldn't bother me overall.
Amen. I'm with you on those, Brian. Blake Snell had just made his comments when we had you with us last week, and you had some really, I thought, poignant good things to say about it. What's the fallout been in Tampa about all that, Brian? Has there been any, or have they just kind of let those comments go?
You know, I think from, well, I don't want to say the media, but stuff that you read, people are trying to be supportive. And, you know, because they understand Blake's a good kid. He's a good kid. He's a guy, one of the guys on the team that I've gotten to know more than most of the others. Really like him. Not necessarily agree with everything that he said, but that, you know, that's part of life. And you know, so there's been that sentiment. But there also has been a number of people that I've come across that said, boy, cost himself a fan and me, you know, or something along those lines, that aren't real happy at all. And you know, it's a lot, because, you know, these people are out of work. These people are out of work. They're taking a risk every day. We all take risks every day. Every day we get up and leave the house, you're taking a risk. And so I think a lot of people, the sentiment is, you know, you're going to be out there in as close to a bubble as you can get, playing, you know, a game surrounded by the best medical personnel, you know, in the world, being, you know, tested every other day, or, you know, 3 times a week, whatever it's going to be, and you're young, healthy, strong on top of it, you know, that's, you know, not that that is a cure-all. I mean, there could still be tragedy strike, even with all that being said. Right. But there's been a, you know, a segment of the population down here that have not been very receptive to what was said. So, you know, the fallout's been pretty minimal, but definitely when you come across somebody, they've got a strong opinion, but it hasn't been harped on like you thought maybe it would.
All right, BA, since you were nice enough to stick with us for 2 segments, I do believe we have a chipmunk update from Jeff's house.
Here's the chipmunk update. I went to check and see what was going on. I asked my wife, have you seen anything? No, she said, nope. Went into the bathroom. The crack that's under the tub, it's like a wooden piece that's covering the tub, you know, like a fake wood front there. And then underneath, you all know what, you know, the tub looks like, and it's dropped in there. It's like an inch big. So this little guy has got to figure out how to get his, you know what, out of there and then make his way out and kind of turn right and go through the screen door. So I think I'm in trouble. But we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Now, that right there, that sounded like the protocols that baseball put out there to get it started again. It's a nice plan. Is it feasible? Is this feasible?
I don't think so, B.A. I need your dad to come and he can catch him and skin him and cook him for dinner.
Hey, you know what? Don't tempt him. Don't tempt him. He'd get right in the truck and be on his way. Hey, listen, there's a real good chance that when we touch base again next week, that this saga may not be over.
No, I know.
The chipmunk or your squirrel delicacies?
Both.
No, the squirrel delicacies have been over for 20, 30 years. So I'm talking chipmunks here.
All right. B.A., thank you. Sounds like the birds are at your feet right now. We always appreciate your time. We look forward to talking to you next week, too. Thanks, Brian.
Thanks, Brian.
All right, fellas. Thanks again. Have a great week. We'll talk soon.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.